thankful to be with y'all this evening and ask that you continue to be in prayer, thankful for what Brother Mike has brought to us. A lot of people have asked, what's the difference between Brother Mike and myself, how we preach and all that. People have actually asked me that question, and here's how I describe it. Mike is more like the mechanic. He'll tell you how the car runs. He'll tell you what each part does. He'll tell you how to put it together. I'm the guy that will tell you how soft the leather seats are, how fast the car runs, how pretty the paint is. They say, well, what about your brother Tim? Well, he'll sell you the insurance. Would have said that last night, but he wasn't here, so I'll say it now. Glad to see you, Tim. Glad to be with all of you tonight. And as I said, please be in prayer. I turn to the same book I was in last night, but I want to look at the second chapter, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Here we read the Apostle Paul writing, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Here we have four things that I believe we all should desire, especially in the house of the Lord. Consolation in Christ, to be told that everything is all right, even though things are rough outside, even though there's a lot of disappointments and there's a lot of trials and tribulations. When we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're consoled, and we are made to feel through the Holy Ghost that everything is going to be not just all right, it's going to be perfect someday. That's great consolation to me. When I lose my precious friends through death, when I hear of tragedies that happen to friends and in my own family and myself, but to know that this world is not my home, that I'm going to be going home someday, that's great consolation to me. Comfort of love, to feel the love of God that we just sang about, and focus upon the words of that song said, to know that God loves us. God loves us even before we ever knew of Him. He loved us in a state of depravity. He loved us when we weren't lovable. And we love Him because He first loved us. If any fellowship of the Spirit, to feel the Comforter come down, to say the Lord was with us, to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost, that should never be lost to us. We say, man, the Spirit was there tonight. Well, why aren't you shouting for joy? That's a great thing to say. I felt the Spirit of God here. I really have in this meeting. I'm thankful for that. I'm more than thankful. I'm so thankful I can't even describe how thankful I am. That's a great blessing to feel the presence of God here in time. And the bowels and mercies, that's the feeling, the things that come to us, that our hearts overflow, and to understand, it just puts it all together. The mercy, the love, the compassion that the Lord had for us. He is the great shepherd. He leads His dear children along. He calls His own sheep by name. That's good stuff, isn't it? You can't get that anywhere, can you? That's worth coming to Nashville, Tennessee to hear. Matter of fact, it's worth coming to San Antonio, Texas to hear too, by the way. But we should all want that. But the Apostle Paul uses the if word in front of each one of those. If this, if this, if this, if this. Well, how do we get it? How do we understand it? He tells us in verse 2. He said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Here's how we have it. Of course, it's the blessing of the Lord. Of course, we all need to be born again. Of course, the Lord has to have compassion on us. But if we would long to have that blessing more and more. Paul says, be like-minded. That means we need to treat one another the same. He explains that. He says that ye have the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. We all need to believe the same thing. We all need to have the same love and compassion toward everyone here. We don't treat anybody differently. You may feel sorry for me because I'm Mike Montgomery's brother, and you should. But in spite of that, we all feel the same. That's a great, may I say, not a test of the truth, but I think it's a test of whether the Lord is there. When you come into a place and you feel like you've been there all your life, you feel at home. Now, I want to say to Bethel Church, I feel at home. I feel at home. I feel more at home this weekend than I've ever have in this church. Not that I didn't feel before, but the Lord is just blessing you. That ought to make you feel good. It makes me feel good. And, you know, we love one another the same. We don't have any special classes of people in the church that we favor. If there be any special attention given to somebody in the church, it ought to be the little children. And I believe that's scriptural. Matter of fact, if you mistreat the children, you're going to get in trouble with the Lord. It'd be better if you were cast into the sea with a millstone tied around your neck. If you want to be way we should, we need to be like a little child. Can you believe the apostles actually had an argument on who's the greatest? I mean, I find that hard to believe. I think about Peter and James and John and all those other brethren. And they had the audacity to have an argument among themselves, which one is the greatest? Well, I think they all just disqualified themselves by the argument. But they argued about that. Sometimes we can get like that. Sometimes we can get, may I say, puffed up. I know I've had trouble with that. But the Lord took a little child and said at their midst, he said, there's the greatest right there. And you need to be like that. But as far as any special this or that, we need to be like-minded. I like the fact, and I think it's amazing, that I can come to Bethel Primitive Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee, and preach the same doctrine that I preach in Fredericksburg, Texas. Now, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? That's amazing. That's amazing. I can preach it. I've heard the gospel preached in every accent in the United States, and it's the same thing. We're told to speak the same thing. That's being like-minded. Mike mentioned our granddad last night. He preached the gospel for many years in Texas. And I remember he said this one time. He said, there are some things we all need to agree on, and the rest of them we need to be agreeable. Now, I believe that will solve a lot of strife and a lot of trouble if we take that attitude. Now, there's some things we need to agree on. How we're saved, we need to agree on that. As our beloved brother preached to us here tonight, I don't find anything that I disagree with what he said. As a matter of fact, I think all of us need to agree on what he preached. I believe it's the truth. I'll amen it myself. Amen and amen. Anyway, we need to agree on, may I say, fundamentals, on points of doctrine. We need to agree on fundamental practice. And the rest of it we need to be agreeable on. But we need to also, in practice and the way that we treat one another, be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And to do that, we need to preach the truth. We need to be instant in season, out of season. We need to pray. We need to worship the Lord together. We need to have fellowship together. We need to ask one another. We need to inquire one another. We need to pray for each other. We need to continue to be in prayer for each other. And like I said last night, that's one thing you can't do too much is pray. You can't pray too much. I like to meet the person that prayed too much. The Lord Jesus Christ spent an entire night in prayer. Would you say he prayed too much? He told Peter, I have prayed for you. Wouldn't that thrill your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ to say, I'm praying for you? Well, my friends, he intercedes for us to the Father. In effect, he does pray for us. That ought to make you feel good. That ought to make you feel better than before I said it. The Lord prays and intercedes for us. He loves us all the same. He loved the Jews and the Gentiles. He didn't love the folks in the New Testament better than the Old Testament. He does not love Texans better than Tennesseans. He loves us the same. Not any of us are different in his sight. Basically, we were all depraved at one point. Again, as Brother Mike said, we don't have anything to brag about except in the Lord. That's what we're here tonight, to boast in the Lord. Brag on Jesus Christ. We need to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Enough about me. It doesn't even bother me if I say something good and you tell, well, Mike said that, Mike preached it. That won't bother me too much. I'll get over it eventually. But my friends, I want this just to be one long sermon from Thursday night to Sunday morning, and it's Jesus Christ and him crucified, all right? Because the Lord loved us in spite of our sins. There is none righteous. There is none that doeth good. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. That's where we started from, in total depravity. We were no good, hell deserving, backstabbing, bushwhacking sinners. I'm a practicing sinner. I'm good at it. I've had a lot of experience in sin. I've got my PhD in sinology. I didn't have to go to school to get that degree. I was born with it. Amen. We come from the womb speaking lies. We were always sinners. And as long as we dwell in these bodies, we have to fight that fight of faith, in that these bodies will desire to do wrong, but yet the soul and the spirit within us will desire to do right. And that's a struggle. That's why heaven's going to be so beautiful, because that struggle is over. It's like that song that we sing, struggle on for the works most done. Just struggle on, my beloved. One of these days, we won't have it anymore. But until then, it's a good fight of faith. The Lord loved us the same when we couldn't love him back, when we were unlovable, when there's nothing to love about us, he loved us anyway. Because the Lord did that, we ought to be the same toward each other. And if we do that, that's being like-minded, the same love, we will have consolation, comfort, fellowship, and bowels of mercies. That sounds good to me. That's right now. You don't have to wait to get it. We can have it right now. Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's, again, being like-minded. And as we do in the house of the Lord, as we labor, and it's a good labor, don't do anything to cause strife. Don't preach anything that's not in this Bible. Don't advocate anything that's not in these scriptures. Don't do something because it's controversial. Just preach the word. Just preach the truth. preach the truth. Preach it in love, but preach it. Believe it. Contend for it. Jude calls it the common salvation. That again means we're all saved the same way. And we're all saved to the same place. That sounds good to me. There are no levels in heaven. There's no parts of heaven. It's just all one big glorious place. And it's going to take eternity to discover it. I can't wait. I want to get started right now. If the Lord came back right now, what a way to end the sermon. What a way to end the meeting if the Lord came back. But he said, don't do it for strife or vainglory. It's not about us. I've said this for several years. Church is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about how I'm, what kind of preacher, or what am I going to say, or what's David going to say next, or David this, or Mike, or Brother Ronald, or so-and-so. It's about, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to feel the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to hear Jesus Christ preached. I don't want to hear about me. I'm tired of me. I live with me all the time. I'm sick to death of me. And I didn't get any amens. That should have gotten a lot of amens. That should have got more amens than anything I ever say tonight. I'm tired of me. I get tired of hearing me preach. I get tired of hearing me think. I'm tired of my bad habits. I'm tired of my bad attitude, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. Amen. I'm tired of it. But I'll tell you what, when I hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach, like Brother Mike did, I don't get tired of that. I'll be rocked to sleep on that. People say, old Baptist rocked to sleep on grace. Well, what's the matter with that? I like taking a nap. I take a nap every day. Rock to sleep on grace sounds good to me. To be woke up by grace. It's a good alarm clock, too. It'll put you to sleep. It'll wake you up. It'll tell you what you need to do, how great the Lord is, how blessed you are, where you're going, where you've been, where you came from, where you are right now. It'll tell you that you've been delivered. He's delivering you right now, and you trust he'll yet deliver you. Now, who wouldn't want to be rocked to sleep on that? If you can think of something better than that, then you come up here and preach. But I think I'm doing all right. The Lord is with us. But that's how good the gospel is. Consolation, comfort, bowels, mercies, all that wonderful thing. And what have we got to be proud of anyway? As the first test you mentioned, Brother Mike, boasting. What have we done that's so great? Seriously. I mean, what have I done? I've gotten a lot of trouble in all my life. You know, some people say, that person's creative. That person's creative. You know, I like what one person from Louisiana said. The only thing we can create is a mess. That's being creative. Now, somebody may be artistic, but you're not creative. The Lord creates. The only thing we make is a mess. We make a mess of things. We can take something good and spoil it. We're good at that. We're good at that. We're good at that. That's why I want to hear about somebody that took a mess and made something beautiful out of it. I want to hear about beauty for ashes. We were ashes. The Lord came along, and now we are beautiful in his sight. We are the bride of Christ, and we've got a good future in front of us, all based upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, why would I want to say anything about Dave Montgomery or somebody else or somebody else? Why would I want to come in here and a church of Christ, the old primitive Baptist, this church, we're all in peace, we're all in fellowship, the Lord's with us, and do something that's going to spoil all that? I just want to preach the truth. Preach the truth. Forget about me and remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now that's being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's somebody that owned everything. Did you know that? Everything belongs to the Lord. We're just borrowing stuff. Amen. You're not going to take any of this with you. Why would you? Why would you? I've got some things that are precious to me as far as possessions are concerned. Did you know, Mike, I got Dad's Bible that Granddad gave him when he was ordained? You didn't know that, did you? You can't say anything about it now. My dad gave me that. That's precious to me. That's very precious. but it's going to get burned up one of these days. I wouldn't throw it in the fireplace now, but when the Lord comes back, it's all going to get burned up. Do you want to know what's great about that day? You're not going to care. You think about that. Think about it. I got stuff in my house that I have put up so my kids can't break it. Do y'all have to do that? And you'd be surprised of stuff that I put up that the kids can't get to. I call one of my boys Apollyon. That means the destroyer. I think I've called all four of them that at one point. But one of them especially. I mean, he leaves a trail of destruction wherever he goes. If there's a glass, he'll break it. If there's a plastic glass, he'll break it. If it says unbreakable, he'll break it. I call him Apollyon. That means the destroyer. He destroys everything. Stuff that a child shouldn't be interested in playing with, he'll find it, play with it, and destroy it. And oh, that gets all over me. That's made me the old man that I am today. At any rate, I forgot where I'm going with that. At any rate, I think about things that I have. I've got a library at home that's, I probably got about 1,000 books in it that I've collected over the years. And I'm going to tell you, I'm sort of proud of it. Sort of. I like to get in my office and shut the door and look at all those books, and I just talk to them. I say, I love you. They say, I love you back. I've got some volumes that that there's no known copy of this side of on this hemisphere. I'm very proud of them. One of these days, they're going to go up in flames, and it's going to be all right with me, because where I'm headed is going to be so beautiful. Why would I even think about this old world? That sounds good to me. And so as we think about the Lord who owned everything, who created everything, and he came and he gave it all up that we would be saved, the Lord looked on our case and had sympathy and died for us. Not only that, he provided the church for us. What would you do if we didn't have the church in our life? I would be very depressed. After all the things that happened last week, all the storms, and I heard bad news from my friends and got some bad news from my friends here. I needed some comfort. And I thank the Lord that he gave it to us. In spite of who preached, and I mean me, the Lord was good to us. The Lord gave us a place to come to worship him and to be fed. My favorite room in my house is the kitchen. It's my favorite room. That's where I get fed. I spend more time in the kitchen. Unlike my brother, you can't tell, but I spend more time in that kitchen than any other room. That's where I get fed. That's the most important room. Well, in the house of the Lord, it's all one big kitchen. It's one big dining room. We come here and we're fed. And I don't know about y'all, but I felt better at the end of last night's service than when I got here. I trust y'all felt the same way. The Lord has given us the scriptures to study and to understand more about him. He gave us the ability to sing praises to his name. He gave us prayer that we can petition him. He gave us the Comforter, which is his presence among us. The Lord blessed us with all that. Now, as we are all ministers to some degree. Let's look on the things of others. Let's pray for each other. I need the prayers of those I love. Let us pray for each other in this sad world of sorrow and care. Look not on your own things, but on the things of others. And then he says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? That mind he just got through telling you about. Let that like-minded spirit, that looking on the things of others, that one that did nothing out of strife or vainglory, he gave all glory to the Lord, to his Father. Let this mind, this attitude be in you, because it was also in Christ Jesus. Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. As my mother always told me anyway, son, you have a mind, use it. We've got a good mind. The Lord has blessed us with knowledge and a ability to feel his presence and to have a degree of perception about these matters that are amazing. As we have studied and preached, what we heard Brother Mike preach tonight were things that the angels desired to know, and that the prophets wanted to understand what they were saying and didn't. It was a mystery, and yet we are so blessed to know it tonight. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. It's a weekend, I think. It would take about an eternity of weekends to praise him. This is nothing. This is so nothing what we're doing. It's I don't even know if we could call it a sacrifice, but it is. It's our bodies. It's the sacrifice, our presence here in the house of God to glorify and honor him and to acknowledge that it was Jesus that saved us. We didn't do it. All glory, all credit goes to Jesus, not us, not us. It's him. He did it. He did it. Amen. Lord is good to us to know that. That mind, let this mind be in you. It was also in Christ Jesus. And then he expounds on that in the next few verses. Who said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was God, Emmanuel, God with us. But yet when he came to this world, he came in a lowly state, not in sin, of course, but as far as what way this world would reckon. He wasn't in who's who. He didn't make the social register. You didn't see him on the society page. He went to this soiree or whatever. I can't believe I actually said that right. That's a hard word to say. It's like a brother in Texas. He was preaching on Mephibosheth, and he says, I must have liberty because I said it right. That's one of those words. When you can say it, you're having liberty. All right. The Lord could have come as rich and full of splendor, but he came in the form of a servant. And he showed that servant's attitude throughout his life, and chiefly in his death. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Made in the likeness of men. I need to get this next scripture. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, he paid the price. We sang the song. He bore the burden. He bore it all. He bore all your sins. Would it be a good gospel if I came to y'all tonight and said, hey, you know, Jesus bore all your sins except one? Did that make you feel good? It ought to make you feel bad. Or if you could say, well, he came and bore the big sins. Now it's up to you to take care of the little ones. Or that he came to make you savable. Or he met you halfway. Beloved, if he came 99.99 all the way across, 9% of the way, none of us is going to heaven. But he came all the way. He found us. He found us. He found us. He found Jacob in a waste, howling wilderness. You didn't find him. He found you. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death. And the manner that he died, we could preach that forever and never preach it out. The death of the cross. In verse 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Every knee should bow at the name of Jesus Christ. They should. Every body should bow at the name of Jesus. We should. We should. We should. We should bow our heads to Jesus Christ. There's no boasting about us. I'm glad y'all are here, but I'm glad the Lord is here, and I'm glad the Lord blessed us to be here. Again, it all goes to him. And we come here to worship him. Every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. And if every tongue would confess at the same time that Jesus is Lord, it's still not enough praise for him, in my opinion. It's not enough because of his holiness and his greatness, but yet his compassion and his love and his humility that he exhibited. Now he says, y'all be the same toward each other. I'm taking you to heaven. Now be like that here and have a little heaven here below. A little time salvation. A little gospel deliverance. To feel that you're not alone in this life, that you've got a family, and you've got like-minded people. I'm so thankful for that. But I've wrote myself a post-it note that I keep. And my wife is always reminding me of things to do, and she'll send me texts of things I need to do. I appreciate them. I ignore them just like I did the post-it note she used to send me. But she still sends me the text. Call the insurance guy. Pick up milk and eggs. Pick up Sam from, you know, school. I don't leave Sam at school. I get him, and you're getting some fisheye from the mothers here. I remember that. I want to do what Robbie says. That's a smart way of thinking. But there's one thing above all things that I want to do that's coming. You know what it is? When I see my Lord face to face, I want to bow my knees and honor him as my King and my Savior. I can't wait to do it. One of these days, every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. One of these days, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Brother Mike mentioned this text, and I'll turn to it in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, speaking of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Those are astounding words. But John says he comes with clouds. He comes with clouds. And I believe, as Brother Mike mentioned last night, I believe those are the saints that are coming with him. I believe he's bringing all those people down. And he's going to remain in the air, and they're going to come down and be reunited with their bodies, and they'll be glorified and immortal, and it's going to be a quick trip for them. They're just going to come down, and they're going to go right back up to him. And if I'm here, if I'm standing, I'm going to be jealous. I'm going to say, "Hey, wait a minute. What about me?" And I'm going to go up there with him. I'm going to meet him in the air. I don't know how, but some way, somehow, I'm going to have the ability to rise up and be with the Lord. Now, what I'm telling myself this, okay, Dave, if you can rise up and meet him in the air, then you can bow to him in the air. Do it. Amen. That's what I'm going to do. Why don't y'all join me? Let's have a good meeting on the last day. Let's have a good church meeting that will never end. Better than this one, better than anyone you've ever had. You talk about worship and praise. Every name shall confess. I mean, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. I don't know if they'll be shouting or what, but I know they're going to be saying that. That sounds good to me. I'm waiting for that day. That day can't come soon enough. But until that day comes, I want to worship the Lord with you good people. And I want to be like-minded. And I want the comfort. May God bless us. I need consolation. I need the fellowship of the Spirit. I want and I desire to feel the presence of the Lord, that I can go out here and I can fight the good fight of faith. And I can come in here and say, God is good to us. Yes, there are trials and tribulations. There is sickness. There are all kinds of bad things that happen. But one thing takes it all away. Jesus is Lord. Jesus saves us. Jesus is coming back. We can get a jump start on that day. This is a good weekend to spend it with each other, praising the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting that, and I'll close with this, it's interesting that when John saw him on the island of Patmos, John had been with him for 3.5 years. John even said, that which we have seen, which we have heard, which we our hands have handled. You know, we've heard him, we've seen him, we've touched him. They ate with him. The last scene you see of John in his gospel is he's leaning on the breast of Jesus Christ. He felt that comfortable with him. But when he sees him in this instance, you know what he did? He fell down and worshiped him. Verse 17, he says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." He's in control, my friends. He is the Lord, the King. When John saw him, it was more than the carpenter's son. It was the Lord of glory. That's how we'll see him someday. That's magnificent. I like to say this, and I'm really going to close on this point. I don't like unhappy endings. I read the last page of every novel that I buy just so I know how it ends. And if it doesn't have a happy ending, I don't buy it. Seriously. I don't like unhappy endings. There's a website you can go on that will tell you the plot, the story, and what happens of every movie you want to watch. Before I watch a movie, I check it all out. If it has a bad ending, I don't watch it. That's why I don't read Shakespeare. Everybody dies. Hamlet, everybody dies. Romeo and Juliet, they all die. It's depressing, isn't it? I get enough depression with reality. All right? Well, I've peeked on the last page of the script of this world. I know how it's going to end. You know how it's going to end? Jesus is coming back. You're going to meet him in the air. You're going to fall and worship him. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to say, come in, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom, prepare for the foundation of the world, and you're going to be forever and ever with him. Now, that's a happy ending. That's a good thing. And isn't it good to know it right now? May the Lord richly bless us all, and thank you very much for your kind attention.